You want to follow that? Acts 1. I was back there. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it. I think it got across to you guys, but like, he was dead. Wasn't it like three times his heart started beating and, right?
Eight.
Well, that's the eight defibrillators, but yeah. He was dead. And he's right there. He was just talking to you. We're going to look at the power we got on the day of Pentecost. Acts 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them, Jesus Christ did, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. I told you about this. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with or in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit not many days hence. Skip down to verse 8. He says, but you shall receive what? Right, the promise of the Father, getting born again. It's receiving power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is come upon you. This power is the Greek word dunamis, and it means ability or capability. All right? It's inherent power. And the word inherent means existing in something else so as to be inseparable from it. Okay? When you got born again, when I got born again, we got power that's inseparable from who we are. Okay? We became powerful because we got Holy Spirit. We got ability, we got capability, and we still have that because it's seed. We're born again, right? I'm my dad's son. I can never not be my dad's son. You can't unson yourself, right? This power, this seed you have, it's you now, and you've got it. It's inherent. It's inseparable from you, all right? And if you look at verse 1, it says of this chapter, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. It's because the book of Acts was written by Luke. And I want to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. This is the former treaties. This is what Luke had written before by way of Revelation. Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus Christ, again speaking to them, says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, right? They were supposed to wait until you be endued with what? Power from on high, right? Born from above. And this endued is to go in. It's to enter in as a garment, okay? We're clothed with power. That's what he told them was going to happen. You're going to be clothed with power, inherent ability, right? It's within us. And it's what we wear. We should wear this power on our person. This is who we are. And it's also, when you wear something, what color am I wearing? Pink. Right? Everybody in here can see, I think, right? It's pink. You see what someone's wearing, don't you? It's not just in, okay? It's supposed to be out, too. It's in us, and it's supposed to be on the outside of us, too. People should see the power that God's given us. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, you know, always wanting more, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Maybe we know some people like this, right? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of what? And it says, having a form or appearance of godliness, but denying what? The power thereof. Godliness is that true, real, and vital relationship with God. It's actually a combination of this. The Greek word is eusebia, and eu means good, and sebia means reverence or service. It's the good service. It's good reverence of God. It's the real relationship with God. And there's people out there that they may look nice, right? They may look like they've got it, but they deny the power thereof, and it says from such in verse 5, turn away. That's not Christianity. Christianity is Christ inianity, right? It's Christ in you, Christ in me. That's Christianity. We cannot, and we must categorically reject this idea that you can have the Spirit of God and live the life that God wants you to have and not operate the power that God's given you. It is what God wants, desires, and expects from each and every one of us. It's not just leaders. It's not just perfect people. It's the opposite of that, right? Anyway, every single believer can and should manifest the power of God. Every single one, all right? And this is something the adversary wants to trick people and take away from them and convince them otherwise, all right? Having a form of godliness, looking like you've got a relationship with God, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 53. It says, let me get there. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So he's where he grew up, okay? His own country. He taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch as they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? And that's this word power. These powers, these powerful works. And their question is, how did this guy get to do this? Interesting question. Is not this the carpenter's son? Verse 55. Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these what? And they were offended at him. They're not asking this because they're so fascinated and happy. They didn't think he had the juice. You understand? They're like, what is so special about this guy? And this was the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? This was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people who supposedly knew him the best didn't think he had what it took. Well, guess what? Doesn't matter, does it? He got up from the dead. He did everything God called him to do. All right? And it didn't matter what these people thought. All right? He did not look to them like the Messiah. Didn't matter. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1. We can't see ourselves through unbelievers' eyes. It's foolish. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's stupid. But to us who are saved, it's what? It's the power of God. It doesn't matter if they think it's foolish. It says right here, they will. Right? It may look silly to somebody else, but we know that this is the power of God, and what Jesus Christ accomplished, he really accomplished. And it's inherent now. It's part of us now. It's what we have now. And we're supposed to use it like he did in John 3. Bob read some of this before. Verse 5 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, naturally, right, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? And that which is born of the Spirit is? One thing is different from the other. They're not the same. And you can't make one be the other, by the way. Your flesh will never be spiritual. Marvel not, verse 7, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind moves things, right? Everyone can see. Can't see the wind, right? But everybody knows it's there, and everybody can see the effect of it, right? The wind has power. That's what believers are supposed to be like. We're supposed to move things. When you show up, things should change because it's part of you. And just because people can't see the source of it doesn't make it any less real. There's tons of stuff in the physical world that works just like that, including the wind. Pentecost means that every one of God's people is now a difference maker, an agent of change for God. You got to believe that about yourself. John 4, verse 24. Bob mentioned this. God is spirit, is how that should read. God's spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in what? It takes spirit to worship spirit, right? And what God gave us is part, is it's who he is, right? I'm my dad's son. I am happy I'm my dad's son, all right? I'm like him. I sound like him. If you listen to like a teaching my dad's done, it'll sound like me, all right? I kind of look like him. I have his mannerisms. I have a lot of his faults, and I have a lot of his good qualities too, all right? God doesn't have any faults. God's only got good qualities. You're God's kid, okay? He made you his kid so you could be like him, which is spirit, all right? Not operating just on the natural plane, operating on a spiritual plane, changing things, moving things. Luke 4, you're a son of God. Think about, you know, we should think about what that means. I'm a son of God. I'm like him. Luke 4, yeah, 31, says, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Jesus Christ, of course. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with what? And this power is exousia. It means it's like authority. It's the authority to do anything. So it combines the ideas of right and might. It means not only that you can do it, but that you are allowed to do it. All right? He spoke with authority, it says. And that astonished them because they'd heard the word of God before, but not from people who spoke it with authority. We'll keep going here. It says, verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. A devil spirit comes in. He's having a fellowship. Devil spirit, like, could happen here, right? And starts hollering and yelling at him, all right? And Jesus, verse 35, rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, shut up, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him what? And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. They were shocked that his speech wasn't just words. It was backed by something, right? U.S. dollar is supposed to be backed by gold. I don't think that's true anymore, is it? It used to be. That dollar meant something because there is something behind it. The words that Jesus Christ spoke, they saw that they weren't just words, right? He did have the juice, and so do you. You speak the word of God and you believe it, and God will bring it to pass as you believe. He knew that. We got to know that, you know? You can't just be somebody that the world acts upon. We need to act upon the world. We need to change things, you know? You can't just sit and be a victim. You can't. You got to stand up and be counted and do something about it. 1 Corinthians 2. That's our heritage. That's our brother. He did, right? 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And that is like trying to persuade him, trying to win him over, okay? Declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I didn't get in any special Bible teachings with you guys, right? I didn't get in anything super deep, just Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You saw that I was just a guy like you, right? This is the Apostle Paul. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Actually, that's the word for persuasive and all that. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? That your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of what? That's Christianity. The words are backed by something, God Almighty. And God is all powerful. And God brings that word to pass. And you've got God in Christ in you. That's Christianity. 1 Thessalonians. Talk's cheap. You know? There's a lot of people that are nice. That's no great shakes. Sorry. Gets you in a lot of trouble just being nice. 1 Thessalonians 2. You know? And, you know, knowledge is, you're supposed to do something with the stuff you learn, you know? We study God's word so that we can understand, like, who we are and who God is better, so that we can, like, do something with it, do something about it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that do one thing, what? Receive here, the second receive is dekomai. And it's to take to yourself what's presented or brought by another, and it's to accept, to embrace, to receive hospitably, to admit or to allow. We receive God's word by accepting and embracing it as the truth, like these guys did, and it will effectually work in us. We're clothed with power. It's inherent. It's inseparable from who we are, but we need to embrace what God says about us to activate that so that it's effective in our lives. You need to embrace who you are. I need to embrace who I am. In each and every situation, in each and every moment, I'm a son of God, right? And God can take a situation like we just heard, as bad as it gets, and turn it completely around. It's all through the word. And we've seen it in our lives, those of us that have stood on the word and believed it. You can be part of that. 1 Corinthians 12. Embrace it. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man. This means, what does it mean? It means everyone of any number separately. Everyone. Any number you've got, pick it. 100, 12,000, every one of them. That's what this word means. All right? And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, every man, to profit with all, to benefit. Okay? It is beneficial to have this Spirit, right? And these are the benefits. For to one benefit is given by the Spirit, the word of what? To know what to do when there's no way to know what to do. To know exactly what to do. To another, the word of knowledge, to know what's going on, to know the score. To another, believing, to believe that information that God's given you and walk out on it and carry it out. To another, gifts of healing, to heal somebody or multiple people. Jesus Christ did that all the time. To another, the working of miracles, to bring the impossible to pass. To another, prophecy, to bring forth a message from God. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, to speak in tongues, a language you don't know. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as what? He wills, he decides. This is to have a wish, an intention, or a purpose. It's formed after mature deliberation. You deliberately purpose after careful consideration. We decide how much we use this Holy Spirit. That's up to us. God is not the God of confusion or the author of it, right? We decide. It's our free will. But you've got it. You've got all of this. So do I. We're supposed to use it. That's Christianity, right? Not a form of godliness, not looking like a Christian, but no power. The power is the proof, right? The power is what happens when the word is believed. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? That power that works in us. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what? What's the limit?" You know, I always say for me, the limit is like the book of Acts or what Jesus Christ did. If this verse is true, and it is, God can go beyond that. Right? And it's according to this power that works in who? Us, right? He'll go beyond it with you as you believe, with me as I believe, because he's able to do this, right? God's ability is infinite, right? It's just endless, and it's just according to it working in us. We tap into as much of it as we want by a decision of our will. To embrace the word of God, right? To admit it into our hearts, and to embrace who we are, embrace the power that we have as sons of God, and to move things. And we'll close in Philippians 2. We're desperately needed, you know. We need to believe this. It's a need. The world needs us. That's not cocky, right? The world needs God, and this is how he set it up. Take it up with him, right? But he wanted you. He wanted me. I know. I have a tough time believing it myself. But it's true. It's just how he set it up. And you know, it does look like foolishness to other people. Doesn't matter, right? Jesus Christ didn't impress them. What am I going to do? Forget him, right? Move on and move. Philippians 2, 13. "For it is God which works in" who? "You, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And this will is just to wish, to desire. God will work in us to want more and more and more to walk with him and to do of his good pleasure, to carry out what he wants on earth, just like his son, Jesus Christ, our brother. That's our calling. It says, "Do all without murmurings and disputings," right? Quit grumbling. "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as" what? There's the light. Remember that? Lights in the world. That's not talking about somebody else. It's talking about you. It's talking about me. This crooked and perverse nation, it needs you, it needs me to embrace who we are, to accept that inherent, inseparable from you and me is the power of God, and that we're meant to move things, to affect things, to manifest that power according as God works in us. That's our job. No big deal, right? No, it's the biggest deal in the world, but guess what? It's the best thing going. It's the most exciting, the craziest, right? It's the best life, right? And we gotta live it, all right? That's Christianity, I guess. Love you. All right.